We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
The folks at Green Mountain Dental Group deserve to take some credit for those smiling Colorado sports fans around town, especially those of our DNVR listeners who've switched to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years to make them their permanent family dentist. They're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, and they're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like all of us. Allie and Lindsay had their wisdom teeth removed recently, and though their recovery may have been a bit of a challenge, Green Mountain Dental Group helped them navigate the process. They checked on them every few days and made sure the medication was just right. So schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and you'll receive a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental. Only 15 minutes from downtown Denver, but a million miles better than the rest. That's your first pitch. Now let's play ball. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Strava CBD coffee helps you start your day feeling your best because their fresh roasted small batch specialty coffee pairs perfectly with top quality broad spectrum hemp extract rich in CBD and CBG and will improve the quality of your morning and afternoon if you're like me. I am your host, Patrick Lyons. Joining me today. I'm just excited to have you here in studio for the first time officially. It's the voice of the Colorado Rockies for AT&T Sportsnet, our favorite guest, Mr. Drew Goodman.
Thanks, man. You know what? We've been talking about coming here, and you're here a lot, but this is my first time here. Now, I've passed this location over the years many, many times. Then with COVID and all the difficulties, this is the first time here. But I got the grand tour. This is cool, man. Great bar, great atmosphere, and really neat studios overlooking, in some cases, the bar. So I'm really impressed.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we may have to talk numbers about you having the Drew Goodman podcast to broadcast from here, potentially.
I would love to do that. That'd be fun, man. That'd be a lot of fun.
Especially with the big guests you get. You know, I know last week we touched on the Bud Black podcast, but so many people really responded so well to that and all of the information that Buddy has been talking about all season long that we know because we're there every day, but to put it all in one place as concisely as he did, you know, it's getting some people excited for the off season and it's getting people
having a better understanding with where the Rockies are at right now with their roster.
You know what, Patrick, you make an interesting point, because Buddy doesn't pull punches and Billy Schmidt doesn't either. And one of the things, if you listen to what they have said in the, not just the aftermath of the season, but as the season was winding down, their view of the club is probably fairly similar to what most hardcore fans observe. Short on offense, have to shore up a bullpen. Now, there were some stories of guys improving as the season wore on, certainly. But it wasn't, you know, blinders on. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, man, we're just one player away. You didn't hear that from Billy Schmidt. You certainly didn't hear that at all from Buddy Black. And I think, you know, that's important, that their observation, you know, their observations, obviously, you know, they have to go, this is what they do for a living. But the fans who are really tuned into the Rockies, they saw the same things that Buddy saw, that Billy Schmidt saw. And there's so many numbers now and analytics that are at the fingertips of all hardcore fans. And they're saying the same thing. And I think that's a real positive if you're a fan.
Yeah, we're hearing that Brendan Rodgers probably better at second base to let him grow there. So we'll see what happens at shortstop. And yeah, the power. The Rockies need to have more power. It's funny because I'd asked a question late in the season about, I think there's 8 different Rockies players that hit 10 or more home runs.
Yeah, I think it was, you may be right. I thought it was 9, but whatever, 8 or 9, somewhere in there.
But none hit 30. Right, Crone had the most, so they were short in that capacity.
But so did the San Francisco Giants, and they were one of the top 2 power hitting teams in all of baseball. No one hit 30.
Very true, yeah. And so they got a lot of production out of catcher with Elias Diaz stepping up. Mm-hmm. So they've got that squared away. So they do have positives, but you're right. They need to improve in that area in this offseason. And you know, team president Craig Fiesel has said they're going to add some payroll, and so it seems like they'll have some room to make it interesting, because they've already done so to start this offseason really well with bringing back Senzatella and Crone. So I know I'm excited to see what this offseason is going to bring for the franchise. Well,
yeah, I thought that was a great move, and I said that, and I got in a little bit of a Twitter debate with some people because they were proactive. They were the first team to sign a couple of their own guys. And you say, well, how does that make them better? No, I understand. They, you know, Crone was with them. It's not a new addition, but it's securing a guy who was their most productive offensive player for the next couple of years, not at a enormous number. And then in the case of starting pitching, we all know how hard it is for the Rockies to acquire starting pitching. When they have good starting pitching as they do now, you want to hold on to it. That's why preemptively a couple of years ago when they signed Germán Márquez to a good deal for both parties, but a team-friendly deal certainly, and they did the same thing with Senzatella, those are wise moves. Now, do they need additional moves, probably a multitude of them? Absolutely. Nobody's suggesting otherwise, but I thought that was a really nice start. There was one other quote that I appreciated from Billy Schmidt, and I read it, I think, in the last 24 hours. You know, we talk a lot about, on my podcast, the fact that the areas, and I know we're going to go there a little bit today, the areas they have to improve are in the outfield offensively, and that the corner outfield spots have to be bolstered. And, you know, Billy Schmidt said, absolutely. He said, well, we didn't hit any home runs out of our outfield the first half. Actually, you know, Billy was not quite right. They hit 3, I believe, which is not good, clearly, bad, awful. But he had taken it to the absolute extreme, so we didn't hit any. So, listen, their eyes are wide open. That doesn't mean you're going to solve all your problems in one winter, but they're aware of where they need to get better, and they have a game plan, and hopefully they're able to be persuasive, because the game plan has to include signing some guys that are free agents. And if you want to sign them because you think that they're going to make you better, chances are there are going to be other teams that want to sign them as well, so there's going to be competition.
And there's a lot of power out in the game today. So I don't think it's that hard to find, you know, an upgrade. But you're right. If it's one of the higher end top flight free agents, then that's where it could become a little too rich for the Rockies' blood. And I think you understand that. You want to get locked into a contract that, you're going to have around for a few years, and it's not going to allow you any flexibility going forward. So it almost does make me think that, you know, if it's maybe they can find another CJ Krohn in a corner outfield spot, perhaps. But it almost suggests to me that maybe a trade could be more likely. They've, you know, a lot of those younger players that they're not young, but they are young for arbitration purposes, right? Experience on the big league level. And some of them still have some upside. And so it gets me thinking that maybe a trade might be the best way to go ahead and acquire some more power. If you're looking for two bats, maybe one of them is by trade and the other one is the good old-fashioned free agent route.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out, because the Rockies historically, that doesn't mean that this new chapter that's going to be authored in large measure by Billy Schmidt could not be different. But in the past, they've always been reluctant to part with prospects, and some would criticize, and probably fairly so on occasion, that they've fallen overly in love or are overly enamored with their own guys, maybe overvalue some of their younger prospects. We'll see how it looks moving forward. I think, you know, if you had a wish list for me, you know, at the top of the wish list would be like a Kyle Schwarber. And I don't know if it's too rich, because he's making $10 million on a one-year deal this year. Is he going to command a five-year, $125 million deal? I really doubt it. It could be a 3x15, which, again, it's not my money. I don't know. But I think that's affordable for the Rockies, certainly.
Agreed.
But that doesn't mean that he doesn't say, man, Boston's offering the same thing, and I've just been part of a nice postseason team with Boston. I'm comfortable here. I'm going to stay in Boston. Or maybe it's go back to Washington, where he had the unbelievable June. So it's not purely money. You hope there's some other draw that brings, you know, one of those players that can make a difference to the Rockies, and they're able to win that recruiting battle.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about Kyle Schwarber in purple, and seeing the play that he was able to make on Sunday and the excitement that he had. Like, again, we need more of that in baseball. Looking at his baseball reference page, 2019 is the only year he hasn't been to the postseason. Look at a guy like Jock Peterson, a postseason player. And Trevor Story's talked about going to a winning franchise, and it makes you think, for a lot of these guys, they're already making some good money. To them, winning might be that thing. But then again, you know, is Kyle Schwarber maybe the final piece for the Rockies? They got a long way to go. They got to make a couple other moves before Schwarber goes, you know what, actually, I can see myself in the next 2-3 years going to a couple postseasons with the Rockies. Those are players that there might be more focus on the postseason than the money.
Well, you heard my interview with Buddy, and again, Buddy is very fantastic. Upfront. Yeah, he's very candid. And I talked to him about being a recruiter, and Buddy is a very humble guy. He says, I'm part of the process, and he is. Does it start with Billy Schmidt? And, you know, ultimately, if it's a big name, do they sit down with ownership also? Certainly, that is part of it. But the affability, the credibility, the other players in the game that have played for Buddy that are going to tell a potential free agent, hey, this guy's the real deal. This is a guy you really want to play for. And there's also, you know, the Rockies get criticized for being insular, yet there's a stability. If you're a player and you go, hey, I'm going to play for Buddy Black, guess what? Buddy Black's going to be here, right? I know he has 1 year left on his deal, but as long as he doesn't want to leave, the Rockies aren't going to part with Buddy Black. So there's something there. There is a recruiting process, though. And anybody that's going to make a difference for the Rockies is going to have other suitors.
Buddy in 2019 going into that year, I don't want to say he's a lame duck, but had 1 year left on his deal. They renegotiated and they tacked on 3 more years. So we might see that this offseason. And to your point, you know, the Rockies, they don't necessarily trade their guys at the deadline to just dump salary. So you can tell one of these free agents that, look, if you're a Rock and you sign a 3-4-5 year deal, whatever it is, you're going to be in purple. Like, you don't have to worry about uprooting your family. Whereas Peterson and Kyle Schwarber, they've had to do that already twice in the past year. So you want to kind of put roots down somewhere. And I think if we've seen in the past for a Rockies free agent, they're able to do that comfortably.
Yeah. And, you know, Buddy touched on this also. And one of the, you know, I chuckle because we all know this who live here. Who the hell wouldn't want to live in Denver, Colorado? I mean, it's a great city. It's a vibrant city. We have the most beautiful weather in the country. We really do. People who are from other places may not realize that. And so there's a whole lot to sell. And we'll see. Here's something else. You know, with folks that may worry about, will Buddy, you know, pack his bags one day and say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm frustrated or whatever. Buddy is close with Billy Schmidt. I mean, Buddy has a really good relationship. It goes back to the mid-90s when they worked together, right, when Buddy got off the field in the Cleveland organization. Buddy likes Billy. He respects Billy. He knows Billy has a really good reputation. So I think that's a positive as well.
Yeah, Colorado sports fans, we know are great here. Beautiful state. We know we're going to see you guys on October 17th at a fantastic tailgate, Broncos and Raiders, at the Sports Fan Back parking lot on the corner of 18th and Federal. For $20, it's all you can eat sexy pizza and Breckenridge beer. Not just any pizza and beer, sexy pizza and Breckenridge beer. Can't go wrong with that.
No, I would think not.
Yeah, it's sexy pizza. It's not pizza. It's sexy pizza. So for $20, you can hang out with us tailgate. I'm going to be there. And also, too, we've got a really cool party bus package for you where you can come here at the bar at 10 a.m. and at 11, we'll drive over to the stadium so you don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about getting a ticket for anything. We'll take you back here. You can hang out for the entirety of the day. We've got all the games. It's everything you could possibly want. That's $30. And that's coming up next Sunday on the big game against the Raiders. It's a must win for the Broncos.
And the Raiders are probably saying the same thing right about now after the last couple of weekends and all that is swirling around John Gruden.
Yeah, you're going to be swirling around some good Breckenridge Brewery beer because they're the official sponsor of DNVR. But did you know they also have hard seltzers, the Good Company hard seltzers? Yeah, you probably did already know that for the amount we talk about them. But we do have it on tap here at Colfax in York. We're able to keep it in stock. Just barely, but we do have that. If you aren't coming out to the bar, go to your local Costco, King Supers, wherever it is. Get a 15 can sampler pack called the Tap Pack for Ryan Maltapi. I've came up with that. It's the Tap Pack if you want 15 because it's very unique, both for the sampler pack, and we know Ryan Maltapi is quite unique. So that's Breckenridge Brewery's Good Company Hard Seltzer, an easy choice for a great company. And you know what? If you're feeling like you're getting ripped off on your cell phone bills, don't anymore because now we've got Mint Mobile, all right? You're tired of getting overcharged by big wireless providers. Well, we've learned there's always a catch, and with Mint Mobile, there is no catch, all right? We spoke with them, and we found out that using their service, it all makes sense. There's no catch. It's only $15 a month, and their secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. They've cut out their retail stores, and because of that, there's no crazy overhead, and they can pass that savings all down to you in the form of zero mystery fees. There's none. Instead, it's $15 a month for premium wireless. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone, keep your same phone number, which is fantastic, and pick any Mint Mobile plan. For $15, you'll keep your contacts as well. It's Mint Mobile. It's guaranteed to be fantastic. Padres are looking for a new manager. Ron Washington, he's the first name that's out there. I imagine you've had some time to talk with him over there in Atlanta's dugout with Walt Weiss, Eric Young Sr. over there. You know, he's got two World Series under his belt, right? We forget at the beginning of the decade, Texas went to back-to-back World Series. Interesting candidate over there in San Diego.
Players love Wash. Ron Washington's a character now, and I've had interactions with him over the years. He's one of the best infield instructors in baseball, and guys who work with him swear by him. He brings a ton of energy. He brings a great work ethic. he's a fun guy to be around. So yeah, I think that you know, he's certainly a worthy candidate, and I think Walt Weiss on that staff is a great candidate. I think we talked about him, me and you, Patrick, or I can't remember if it was
that
my
Mets
podcast
job.
Or with the Mets job.
Yeah,
I think it was
we did
you
talk
me.
About that briefly.
So. Yeah, and again, you know, we everybody plays the geography game, and Walt's from Suffern, New York, which is in Rockland County, which is a suburb of the city. So, you know, that, you know, makes some sense. But yeah, those are two good candidates on Brian Snitker's staff right there, and that's not to dismiss you know, EY either. But yeah, I know those two guys, the aforementioned guys, Ron Washington and Walt Weiss. Their name has been. You know, has kind of been put out there a little bit.
Yeah, managers are managing the players and managing the clubhouse a lot more than in the past, where they were managing the field. They're managing, you know, the in-game decisions and the strategy. And now it is about that, you know, player management in the clubhouse. And we saw that it may have fallen apart in San Diego. So Washington would be a good candidate for that same thing. Walt Weiss, players love playing underneath him. Either of those two guys would be a great fit to get everyone pointed in the right direction, since they came from all over.
Think of the job Buddy did this year. I mean, think of the noise back in February when, not just in our area, but the baseball world was looking in and going, what in the hell have the Rockies done, and what did they get back? And everything was negative having to do with the Rockies, and certainly here in our area. And there's still a ton of people, understandably, that are angry. And Buddy, when the, you know, I think Pakoda had them at 60 and a half wins, and virtually everybody had them losing 100-plus games. I'm not here to celebrate the fact that they won 74 as opposed to 60, because you still didn't make the postseason and you still have a ways to go to get back to where you are in contention. And I'm all about that. But Buddy was such a steady hand, and none of that noise really infiltrated or affected performance on the field. And the Rockies, most importantly, steadily got better. I mean, from June 1st on, they were above 500. So he got them pointed in the right direction, and he deserves a lot of credit. I heard somebody out there, I forget, somebody said, it was Vic Fangio actually, goes, he deserves votes for, you know, manager of the year. And it was interesting take from you know, a head coach in the NFL standpoint. I agree with the premise of that. He shouldn't win it, because I think Gabe Kapler should win it unanimously. He took a team, speaking of prognostications, had them in the mid-70s, and they won 107 games. That's a slam dunk. Gabe Kapler ought to be the manager of the year. But the fact that another head coach said, this guy really did a good job and understands all the pressures that come with it and was living here during that period of time, I thought that was an interesting observation, and a flattering observation from Vic Fangio.
If you recall, this would have been 12, 13 years ago, Joe Girardi won NL Manager of the Year with the Marlins, and they were sub 500. They actually had a losing record, but that was a team that was a 100-loss team on paper easily. No one was arguing it. And he was still able to keep them in it a little bit. I think, you know, maybe they were messing around the wild card briefly before really having the wheels fall off. But I think that's an interesting point I hadn't thought of is, you know, does Buddy maybe get a third-place vote somewhere in there? And I think he'd very, very justly deserve at least one of those third-place votes.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't pay that close attention to how it breaks down after we'll announce it. Yeah, Gabe Kapler was the manager of the year. I mean, that's a proverbial no-brainer. But I think, more importantly, players in the game know. Other managers know. Buddy is universally respected, and will continue to be universally respected. It was a great hire several years ago when the Rockies brought on Buddy, who was not a Colorado Rocky. He was hired from outside the organization, and it was, you know, that was hitting, speaking of proverbial, you know, we're throwing cliches around, that was hitting the nail on the head, man.
Yeah, Buddy's been, he was on Mad Dog Russo last week with his postseason pick, so he's everywhere, very well liked. guy that's pretty well liked by his teammates and had some trouble in the postseason, Nolan Arenado, right? Cardinals don't get it done against the Dodgers in the wild card game. That was last week. But you know Nolan as well as anybody, how much, you know, pressure he puts on himself, right? And how frustrating that must be when you see how great of a player he is. We all have seen it, how great of a player he is. Over 162, and how the postseason, it gets boiled down to 9 innings. And that sometimes becomes part of your story. And we saw Clayton Kershaw have to deal with that for so long before finally breaking through in the postseason. You say, now this is the player. It's frustrating for Nolan right now with that 0-for-4 performance.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Bonds famously did not do well in the postseason until very late in his career. And then I think in that the year against the Angels, I mean, he couldn't get him out pretty much in the postseason. Nolan has not had a great resume so far in the postseason. I think he has, what, 24, 25 at bat? 25. He's 4-for-25, I believe, in the postseason. We all know baseball that, you know, even a guy that's a 300 hitter is not over 25 at bats, a handful of at bats. But when, you know, the pressure has been on, if you will, he hasn't been at his best yet at this juncture of his career. I will say this, and I love Nolan. And he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory without question. And he had a really good year in St. Louis. Really did. 30-plus home runs, 100-plus ribbies. You know, he played very good defense. We all know, he's one of the greatest third basemen ever. The one thing that always kind of bothered me a little bit is when he, you know, talked about, I want to win. Well, in 17 and 18, the Rockies were a winning team. They went to the postseason. And if you're going to make that statement, you better be able to back it up. And unfortunately, again, a small sample size, Nolan was 2-for-11 in the Milwaukee series when the Rockies got swept in the divisional, you know, series against the Brewers. Maybe, you know, I understand the context of where he was speaking. Let's continue to improve where they are, and the Rockies weren't able to after 2018. So I understand the frustration, but you always point to yourself first, right? And had he gone, you know, 6-for-11 and helped the offense a little, it sounds better than the guy who struggled and now he's pointing fingers. Now, knowing Nolan as I do, he didn't want it to come out as it did. He probably would have rephrased it had he had another opportunity. I hope that he has many other opportunities to go to the postseason and change that narrative. But we all understand sports, and it's out there right now. And he does put a lot of pressure on himself. And, you know, he has to now change that narrative.
Yeah, he was the guy in the middle of that lineup because Goldschmidt, if you recall the lineup that Mike Schilt put out there, Goldie was batting second, and so Arenado was fourth. He was the guy. He was their Garrett Cole to a degree, right? Where, hey, big spot, you're getting paid the big bucks, you got to do that now. And, you know, he's in a good spot in St. Louis, and he should have a lot more of those opportunities too. So I think more times than not, I think we'll be sitting here in October talking about his great play in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a great player. He's a guy that, barring some significant injury, will probably end up in the Hall of Fame, and deservedly so. He will have other opportunities, I'm sure, to come through in the clutch. Nobody comes through all the time. And so far, you know, he has not been a great postseason performer, but it's a, you know, relative handful of at-bats. It's 25. I know some other people who want to be critical point to other big games down the stretch where, you know, he didn't, you know, have the big hit. If the Rockies could have won one ball game in L.A. in 2018 when you play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game, the Rockies win the division as opposed to finishing in a dead heat and then having to go back there. There's a lot of pressure that comes with getting paid a lot of money, and that's part of it.
Yeah, it is a smaller sample size. Like, yeah, 25 at-bats, really not all that much. Postseason talk, you and I, we have the exact same picks. Rays over the Dodgers. That's not fun.
No, especially as you and I sit and chat today, the Rays are down 2-1 after the craziness of last night. The Dodgers and Giants, you had to think that's going to go 5 games, right, from the outset. You had to make picks, right? This is what we do. We had to make picks.
They get Milwaukee too, right? I had Milwaukee.
I didn't break it down like you did.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, so you broke it down by each series, and I just said it here. I see Tampa coming out of the American League, and I still think the Dodgers have the best roster I've ever seen, even with all of their injuries and the Bauer situation. I felt like they should, in a longer series, their talent and their experience win out. I didn't break things down. Now, what's happening with Milwaukee is what the people who like Milwaukee but were worried about Milwaukee, their concerns were about their offense, and they haven't had any offense so far.
Yeah, they're definitely struggling, scraping right now. Rays Dodgers World Series would be the first rematch since 1978. Or rather, first back-to-back, 77-78, right? You had Yankees, Dodgers, Reggie Jackson with the 3-home-run game. But any other combination, too, is going to be somewhat of a rarity. You enjoying the postseason so far? I mean, the games have been really solid, and, you know, some of these rules that have been, you know, need to be enforced, it's been strange, but that's what makes it fun.
I mean,
makes it exciting.
We had, within a space of probably less than an hour, we had two plays. One I've never seen before, and that was the ball that inadvertently gets, you know, hit off the outfielder and ends up out of play. Hadn't seen that one before. They probably, even though you probably won't see it again for 50 years, they're going to have to address it because Boston should not have benefited from that. And they ultimately did, because the runner was at third base. He was going to score standing up. He would have been in the dugout by the time the ball, you know, had gotten back into the infield. So that hurt. And people, you know, I saw where John Heyman wrote, well, it doesn't matter because, you know, there was Christian Javier hit a 2-run home run.
Oh yeah, that's the worst argument. I hate that.
But you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know how many runs are going to be scored that. Everything, pitches are different. You don't know how Tampa's going to go about defending that lead in the bottom half of the inning. So that didn't make, you know, a whole lot of sense to me. But that one, and then yes, you established the baseline, but clearly Yasmani Grandal wanted to get in the line of the throw, and
that's a veteran move right there.
It was a great play. Hey, that was a great baseball play by Yasmani Grandal. Great baseball play. But there's two in the less than a space of an hour that you're like, I haven't seen that one. I mean, we have seen balls hit base runners before. My favorite was when Cole Calhoun last year headbutted a ball for Arizona against the Rockies.
That was fantastic. Yeah, it was pretty clear. His head, you know, just went straight up into it. That was fantastic.
And to add insult to potential injury, he was called out for headbutting the baseball.
Yeah, of course, the Reggie Jackson with his little hip,
putting
his butt out there and taking one. So we know that's just one of the things you got to deal with in the postseason when all these calls make it all that much more important.
Well, I'll give you, I don't know if this is a fair analogy, but if they don't change that rule in the outfield, the one with Hunter Renfroe goes off his body, if Hunter Renfroe kind of grabs the baseball and, you know, pretend you have to
accidentally, quote unquote,
accidentally, like it goes out of my hand over the wall as I pretend to throw it in an awkward type of move, and all it is second and third, it's a ground rule double. I guess the analogy, what should be taught, and I'm sure coaches do, secondary coaches in college, if you've beat me for a touchdown on a 9 route, on a fly route, I'm gonna reach out and try to tackle you, because in college it's a 15-yard penalty, so instead of it being a 40-yard touchdown or 50-yard touchdown or a spot foul like it is in the NFL, where you now have it at the 1-yard line, it's a 15-yard penalty. So I'm beat badly, I'm going to tackle you. I'm blatantly going to interfere with you.
Soccer's got the same thing too, right? Where you can do that, and if it's outside of the box, it's not a penalty kick. It's just, hey, this was guaranteed to happen. you just took a point or you took some runs off the board. And so it definitely needs to be addressed.
Sure. I mean, it's really unusual. I think anybody in baseball is looking, you know, so many people fessed up. I'm fessing up. And I said, I didn't know how that would be adjudicated. Is it just a ground rule double, or is it at the umpire's discretion to say, hey, he was already at third, he would have scored, we're going to give him three bases?
Yeah, need some justice out there, need some balance, and Ball Aerospace and Technology are doing that because they practice diversity and inclusion. That's why they've got 100% corporate equality index from the Human Rights Campaign, right? They take great care of their people. You're free to be your authentic self if you work for Ball, and once you've worked there, there's groups that you can join to represent your unique background. And right now, they're actually hiring. They're looking for folks that have technical mechanical skills to help them manufacture aluminum cans and bottles, which they've been doing for a very long time. It's an iconic brand. They're doing big things at Ball, and you can be a part of something bigger than yourself there. So go ahead and text GOLDEN to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com to get hooked up with them over at Ball Aerospace and Technology. Then take that hard-earned paycheck and buy yourself a home with the expertise and support of Chevalier Mortgage. Now, their ultimate goal over at Chevalier Mortgage is to take the stress out of buying and refinancing. They strive to give their borrowers options with their full financial picture in mind and with the highest level of integrity, always putting their borrowers first. That's you. They're putting you first. Something to keep in mind for our homeowners with prices going up, it's creating natural equity in your home. And if you have a mortgage insurance, chances are you can refinance out of that. Make the bubble work for you. They've got a fun perk for DNVR listeners. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choice when you do. Most importantly, set up a free consultation to discuss all your options. That's dnvrmortgage.com. Call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com. You can go ahead and make sure at the ad you have to say Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931100006.
And Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they've got a Week 6 offer every football fan should jump in on. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Have you ever remembered a game not scoring a point? You shouldn't, because it hasn't happened since 1943.
I was going to say, has there been a 0-0 tie in the last 50 years?
No, not. It's 24 years. It predates the Super Bowl. So it's a lock. It's a no-brainer. That really is the whole point. DraftKings customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. They combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout, so the more legs you add, the more money you can win. It's simple. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's DNVR as your promo code. Drew, I was asked on our Monday mailbag, and this kind of ties in with everything in the playoffs right now, is, you know, the best and worst umps in the game. And really, I guess the better question is, you know, what makes for a good ump, or what makes for a bad ump in your estimation right now in MLB?
Well, I think the focus is always going to be on balls and strikes right now, because on the bases, if you call a guy out and he's safe, it's going to be challenged, and they'll end up getting the call right in New York. So there's a lot less pressure on the base umpires. The home plate umpire is going to manage the game, is going to keep the game moving. The less we notice officials in any sport, probably the better we think the game was officiated. On those Sundays or Saturdays where you watch a college football game or NFL game and you go, well, I didn't really notice the officials, you're like, okay, it's probably well officiated. Same thing with any sport. So I would start there. And then consistency in balls and strikes, not a kind of a floating zone. And I can't tell you, oh, this guy or that guy. There's a number of young umpires that do a good job. They really do. And I think their scores reflect that. I get the umpire, you know, scores. I get that.
It's a great account on Twitter, right?
Right, the a Twitter account, and right?
Ump scorecards. Yeah,
yeah, and it does give you a feel. There's a lot of really good umpires. I always say this to kids that I coach when, you know, they get upset if there's a missed call or that sort of thing. If these guys are getting it right 95, 96% of the time, does anybody get a hit 95% of the time? No. You know, certainly at the amateur level, not too many guys, you know, field 95, you know, 950, 960. So why are you jumping down the throat of the umpire? Now, I've been guilty of that also as a coach, but I also am on record as saying I want it still balls and strikes called by human beings. I don't want to see an automated strike zone. There's going to be a lot of issues with that, number one, and it takes away the art of receiving and, you know, stealing pitches. You say, well, stealing, well, then you're saying, oh, that was a ball, but he made it a strike. Well, there's borderline pitches, and there is a creativity and an art form to being able to receive the baseball and give that umpire a good view or maybe a biased view of it. And I think it, I think it's part of the uniqueness of that position, and I would not like to see it lost.
Yeah, no, it there's definitely an art to it, especially when you get to the postseason too, mm-hmm. when there's those just huge performances. I think one of the things that jumps out in my mind when I think of a bad ump is a short hook, right? Is the umpire that might be throwing people out a little too yeah. aggressively. That's obviously something that, you know, can be detrimental in a game, especially if it's early in a game and you're throwing out, you know, one of the best players. That's we don't see that all the time, but when it does, to your point, it stands out because we really shouldn't be noticing the umpires at all.
No, and you don't see it a ton, but you're absolutely right. Nobody bought a ticket to watch the umpires umpire. You have respect for them. You should have great respect for them. But by the same token, if somebody who's in the middle of you know, competing and gets upset, let get them to calm down or draw a line in the sand, but don't go run Fernando Tatis Jr. in the third inning, and everybody's like, wait a second, I've been telling my kids about him, and I saved up money to go and watch him play, and yeah, he got upset because he didn't like a, you know, a strike call or that sort of thing. Really, you have to be judicious, and when you reach that point where you feel like somebody needs to get run.
Yeah, I think some of the veteran umps need to, you know, protect the younger guys, so they might have a shorter hook, or Tatis Jr. is a great example of, well, I gotta teach this kid, you know, a little bit about the game and the tradition. Or, you know, we saw that with Bryce Harper when he first came up, where there were a couple umps that really seemed like they had it out for him at that time. We haven't seen anything like that since then, thankfully, but, you know, that's never good if the umps are kind of going outside their natural jurisdiction.
No, and the game is about the players, and I think the good umpires realize that, and, you know, that's there's less controversy now because a play missed at first base, which could cause a hullabaloo, you know, in a key situation 20 years ago, it's not going to happen now. You're going to put your hand out as a manager, and then your video guy is, you know, somebody's on the phone to the video guy, and he's going, yeah, no, he was safe, and you go like this, we want you to look at it, and they get it right in New York, we assume, most of the time, and it gets turned around. So there's less opportunity to have disagreement. Most of them pretty much reside on balls and strikes.
Yeah, and you don't have the makeup call either of like, you know what, maybe your guy was safe at first, let me go ahead and expand my zone, and then you miss a couple pitches because the home plate umpire maybe has gotten out of his game a little bit.
And you're not getting the – because every pitch is scored. I did this with somebody on social media yesterday, I believe it was. The reputation strike, I'll give you an example. Like, okay, we know that Greg Maddux had unbelievable command, so if the plate's 17 inches wide and now he's demonstrating he can keep hitting here. I mean, there were umpires on record who said, no, he's demonstrated that he can hit. Big deal, it's off the plate. But he was all of a sudden – in some situations, he had a 20-inch plate, they can't do that anymore. There's no more reputation strikes that are called consistently. Otherwise, you're going to have a lousy grade. And some people will say, well, you know, how do we know that even if they score poorly consistently, you know, are umpires removed? We don't, you know, normally see that. It's, you know, behind closed doors, whatever the discussions are, whatever those ratings are. And, you know, the postseason, I'm sure people look at and say, well, there's guys working, you know, in the postseason that may not have had great scores during the year. We'll see how that works going forward.
Before we get to this week's guest on the Drew Goodman podcast, just want to see what kind of memories you had or some of your favorite takeaways of Rocktober. You know, it's 2007, 2009 is 14 and 12 years away, so it's not a big anniversary, but, you know, some Rockies fans, you can get down in the dumps a little bit seeing the same teams in the postseason every year. But hey, you know what? We can actually look back and say, on this date in Rockies history, and go back, and there's a couple really good ones in 07 and 09 and more recently in 17 and 18. But the original, that original Rocktober, if you will, what are some of your favorite things and your favorite moments that you took away?
I just think overall, Patrick, that the whole city, the state, the region, people were talking about baseball and the Rockies on a daily basis. And in baseball, it keeps building, right? When you're winning, it keeps building. And everybody can't wait to the game that night. Now, we've seen numerous great Broncos teams, and there's a big game coming on Sunday. Well, it's Tuesday, and it's Wednesday, and it's Thursday. Okay, now we're getting closer to the weekend. Can't wait for the kickoff at 2 o'clock on Sunday. But in baseball, guess what? There's a game tonight. And then there's a game tomorrow night. And for the whole city, in a Broncos town, we know that, right? To people that didn't care less about, you know, baseball, everyone was on board. Everyone was wearing purple. Everyone was excited about what was transpiring with the club and the downtown area, which is always vibrant anyhow, was off the chain. So when I look back at memories, it's not necessarily just the specific on-field memories. It was the kind of the culture being altered for a period of time.
The takeover. Yeah. Take over the town, which you can, when you have teams like that, and like you said, building momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. And Rockies had a great rotation, especially in 2007, a young one, and they sweep the Phillies, they sweep Arizona, and we don't have to talk about what happens next, but you're right. It just kept building in a city that is somewhat of a Broncos town. That was just some of the best memories, I think, people still think about to this day.
Yeah, and they want to see it replicated, you know, fairly frequently. And I say fairly frequently because even the teams with the deepest pockets, I mean, the Dodgers aren't a heck of a run. They've won only one world championship, but they, you know, till this year, they had won 8 straight division titles. They finish a game behind the Giants this year. The Yankees, we understand, but it's hard to get there to the postseason on a regular basis. So you really cherish it when it happens. And yeah, we need to see it happen more frequently here. We'd love to see it happen more frequently here. But I just think of what it did to the city. Same thing. When it happens in October, we understand it's different. That was the premise of your question. But I will tell you this in what I do, when the Rockies have won, you know, 4 or 5 in a row, 6 in a row, maybe they won a series like they did earlier this year at Dodger Stadium, you have a bounce in your step, even as a broadcaster. You can't wait to get to the ballpark that night to see, hey, you know, this team's playing well, and who's gonna have the big hit tonight, and that sort of thing. So I just think that's the beauty of baseball, that it is day after day, and it can really build to you know, something special.
We see that bounce in fan steps here at the DNVR bar a lot when the Rockies are doing well, and it's on their lips. It's what they're talking about. This week on the Drew Goodman podcast, what are you talking about?
We're going to talk a little bit more about a couple of those plays in the postseason, and how it should be handled maybe moving forward. We'll talk about some other performances. May touch on a Rocky or two that we haven't talked about. And we're going to talk hockey because, you know, I mean, I'm a huge fan and obviously have broadcast, you know, so many different sports. You know, we'll do our football bit because we do that every week. But we're going to get into the Avalanche a little bit more this week. Kyle Keefe is coming on, who I think does a marvelous job, you know, with the pre and post game on Altitude with Mark Rycroft. And we're going to get a thorough Avalanche preview. And you talk about exciting, and you guys talk a lot about it here at DNVR, obviously. And the Avalanche last year may be a little disappointing in how things ended, but they are, again, one of the favorites to compete for a Stanley Cup. And so we're going to break it all down with Kyle, who's great, and I'm really looking forward to that. So not only you always Nuggets fans are welcome, but not only Rockies fans this week, make sure if you're an Avs fan, you tune it in.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year, man. They get going Wednesday. I'm going down Saturday. They're going to have the tribute to Pierre Lacroix. So it's amazing, man. But hockey's back.
Very exciting. Very exciting. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Drew Goodman podcast. Follow us on Twitter at DrewGoodman42. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons. So for DNVR Sports, our super producer, Kale, I'm Patrick Lyons, and thank you for enjoying the DNVR Rockies podcast. Green Mountain Dental Group is the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, and they're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like all of us. They deserve to take some credit for those smiling Colorado sports fans, especially our DNVR listeners who have switched to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years to make them their permanent family dentist. And if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you'll receive free Sonicare toothbrush. We know they've got great service because Allie and Lindsay here at DNVR have had their wisdom teeth removed recently, and although their recovery was a bit challenging, Green Mountain Dental Group checked on them every few days and made sure the medication was right. As I said, it's the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area. Schedule that cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and you'll receive a free Sonicare toothbrush.